We're holding at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We started talking about the whole matter of shlichus because the Mishnah had told us that a man or a woman can send a shliach to accomplish their part of the kiddushin. So that got us into a general discussion where we know the whole concept of shlichus from. One of the things we mentioned in that connection is in connection with the Korban Pesach, you have the expression Yisrael, and since it can't be obviously that all the Jewish people join in shechting one Korban Pesach, then necessarily that means Shlucha Shalom. And we discussed that teaches us that by Kodshim, and then we have other psukim that teach us the same thing in other areas, Kiddushin and Gerushin and giving Truma. So now the Gemara says Hamichal Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. That works out well, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that he can use that pasuk to darshin that Shlucha Shalom Kamoise. Elul Rabbi Yonason, the Mapik Leila Hai Kral the Drasha Achrina. What about according to Rabbi Yonason, where he uses that pasuk the Shachtu Oise Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Ben Ha'Boyim? He uses it for a different drasha. So Manolon, according to him, where would we know by Kodshim that you can have a shliach do it for you? Now, we learned yesterday in the Gemara, a lot of things in Kodshim are of necessity done by a shliach. Everything from Kabbalah Saddam and onwards, and similarly with other types, similarly with Menachos and so forth, has to necessarily be done by a Kohen. And of course, that means that it has to, that since most of the time the person bringing the Korban is not a Kohen, then necessarily you need shlichus for that. But where would we know that you can have shlichus for the things of karbonis that you yourself could have done, such as the shchita, or such as some of the early stages of a Koyen Mincha, and so forth? If we say, again, that the pasuk, v'shach d'oise, ko kahal adas Yisrael, is being used for a different drosha, namely, the Tanya we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Yonason Omer, minayin sheko Yisrael, yotzin b'pesach echad. How do we know that the entire Jewish people could, in principle, be yotze with one Korban Pesach? Meaning, in other words, like this, usually we say that a person, that the Pesach has to be, there has to be a kezias available for each person. So that puts an upper bound on how many people there can be registered for a Korban Pesach, a couple of dozen at most, the pashtus. But here, Rabbi Yonason is saying that no, even if there's not a kezias for each one, it doesn't matter. He says, the eating of the Korban Pesach is not ma'akev, only as long as the zrikas adam was done with you in mind, then you yotze. And he learns from the very same pasuk, that all the Jewish people will shecht it in the afternoon. So again, you have to ask, does the whole kohol shecht? Only one can shecht. Either that means, like we learned yesterday, that it means that when it comes to kodshim, only one person can shecht. It's not allowed for two people to hold the knife together to shecht, which is in fact an opinion in the Gemara in Zvachim. Or that hypothetically they could, but you certainly can't have that all 600,000 Jews or however many million there are. You know, you have the story in Pesachim where one year there were 12 million Jews there to bring the Korban Pesach. So you can't say that they're all going to shecht. Only one of them necessarily is going to shecht. From there, rather, we would learn that all Jewish people can be yotze with one Pesach, says Rabbi Yonason. So according to him, shliach b'kodshim menaleh. Well, according to him, where is he going to get the concept of shlichos by kodshim? Fine. When it comes to truma, we have a pasuk we learned yesterday. When it comes to gerushin, same thing. Kiddushin, we have the hekesh for yotze v'hoisa. But how do we know when it comes to kodshim, which we said yesterday, you can't learn kodshim from chulin. You can't say that because you find a certain din by chulin, therefore it should apply to kodshim as well. Kodshim are always more stringent. So the Gemara answers. The Gemara answers, Mine. Well, very well. He learns it from that itself. The very fact that we're saying that all of them are appointing one person as their shliach to shech the korban on their behalf. However, the Gemara says, V'dum shiny hosam de islay shutfus begavayu. Maybe it's different over there where he has a partnership with them. So, in other words, sure, when you have, let's say, so you have a bunch of people. So like we mentioned yesterday, for example, in connection with Truma, that you can have, if you have two people that have a partnership in a pile of grain, then one of them can't take Truma without the other one's permission. But certainly he can take Truma from his portion, but not from the other ones without his permission. But certainly one of them can make the other one a shliach to take Truma from his portion. Fine, because he has a share in it. So you could say each one has a share in the Korban Pesach. Therefore, one of them can be delegated to be the one to do it. Maybe it's different when he has no shutfus at all, maybe not just to appoint a shliach who has nothing to do with the matter at hand. And in fact, now Tosfos points out that the fact is, we do in fact know from Mishnayos and Psachim that it's not so, that even if the person doesn't have a shutfus, you can appoint him to be your shliach for the Korban Pesach. And Tosfos gives an example over there that talks about, for example, a master and an eved, where the eved doesn't have any partnership in the animal, and he can still shecht on behalf of his master. No, an eved kanani. We're talking about an eved kanani. Remember, is chayiv in many mitzvahs. So, so women in principle can shecht also. At the beginning of Chulin, actually, it talks about where it says hakol shechtin, and the Gemara says over there women can shecht. We're concerned shemis alpha. We're concerned that they may faint at the sight of blood. And you have a Tosfos over there that brings from the famous Eldad Hadoni that says that women shouldn't shecht. But nevertheless, in principle, al pi halacha, women are in are allowed to. In fact, that's the vote. If we say, so in fact, Maushar teaches out in Tosfos over here, if you say, like we said before, we said before, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha holds that it's not so. Every person who eats the Korban Pesach has to have at least a kazayas of it. If not, then you're not Yotze. So then according to him, no question, we said before that yes, there's no reason to think that there's a difference whether you're a shutta from the Korban Pesach at all. So fine, then you could have somebody chef the Korban Pesach for you, even if he's not the one going to be eating from it. But if you say now like Rabbi Yonason, that it doesn't matter whether you have a kazayas or not, and conceivably all Jewish people could be yotze with one Korban Pesach, then how do we have a basis for saying that maybe the one who shecht has to be one of the ones who has a share in it? So ela mehocha. So the answer is you're fine. According to Rabbi Yonason, you would have to learn the concept of shutfus in Korbanos from a different pasuk, also in connection with the Korban Pesach, where it says, "V'yikolahem ish selabes oves selabois." Each person should buy for themselves or take for themselves a sheep for each family, a sheep for each household. So the idea is, in other words, that you're saying ish selaves oves, one member of the household can buy it on behalf of the whole family. So there you go. Then that means that you have shlichus by kodshim as well. Mind you, I mean, the Rishonim talk about, I think the Rosh talks about, so what? That's talking about buying the korban, not shechting it. When you buy it, it's still chulin. And he says it's almost like im eina inyan, given that we don't need it to tell us about the buying of it because there's no chidush in it, then it must be it's telling us about the shchita of it. But the Dilma Hasam Nami de Islay shutfus begavayu, you could say maybe there also you're talking about that he has a shutfus in it. Maybe again, he's planning to bring a Korban Pesach for his whole family. So he's the one who goes and buys it. So you still don't have that shlucha shalom kamoise would apply. You still wouldn't have the concept of shluchos when it comes where he's not a shutfus in it. And the answer is, well, then if that were the case, why would we need two separate psukim to teach us the same thing, to learn from that as well as to learn from Rishach Doroise Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Ben Ha'aboyim. Therefore, im ena inin lahecha the shiach tneu inin lahecha the shiach is therefore you can say if it's not necessary for the case where he belongs to that group where he's a member of the group himself, then use it for a case where he's not the member of the group and he can still do it. So therefore, we learn from that yes, even if he's not a member of the group, he still can buy it and shecht it on behalf of the rest of the group. The problem still is, don't we need the word ish from Selaves Obis to teach us what Rabbi Yitzchak says, a whole different din. Only an adult is able to be zoicha on behalf of other people. So therefore he can buy at the Korban Pesach and register everybody for it and shecht it and have them all in mind. But a cotton wouldn't be able to do that. Which we're coming up in a few days to Sukkot. You have the annual halacha that we remember from that since a cotton can be zoicha, but he can't be mezakeh back to you, is why when it comes to lulav and esrog, if you give a kid to do it, you don't give it to him as matana amanas lahachzir because he won't be able to validly return it. So he can't be mezakeh to you. So then we learn that from ish lefiyochlo. So we learn that rather from ish selaves obis, the Gemara assumes. Now Tosfos points out we know already, Ein Yod L'Katan. A Katan has no ability to be koina anything. So why do we even need a posik to tell us that? And the answer is, Tosfos says, but the Korban Pesach is different. The fact is, a child does have a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, but a child can eat from the Korban Pesach as well. As long as he can eat a kezias, he can join in and be one of the ones registered for a Korban Pesach as well. We learn that from other psukim. So you would think maybe he could even be mezaka to others, and we need to be told that not. Anyway, so the answer is Hahume ish lefi ochlei nafka. That we would learn from the part, from not from the word ish selaves olves, but rather from the later in that pasuk where it says ish lefi ochlei, each person, each man, according to what he can eat. Then you register for the Korban Pesach. So we learn from that ish that only an ish can be registering other people and be mezaka to them. Well, the Gemara asks, still, even that ish we're using for a different limud to say that you could shecht the Korban Pesach for an individual, which is, now you have a machlokas about that in Masechta Pesachim. You have Rabbi Yehuda holds you can't. He learns from a different posik that even if you have one person who's capable of eating the entire Korban Pesach, you can't shecht the Korban Pesach for one individual. Rabbi Yossi over there disagrees. You have machlokas of Rishonim. Does that mean Rabbi Yossi would say, Taka, you have to have a person who's Taka capable of eating the whole thing? Or would it be enough? Rashi holds that even if you can only eat a kezias is enough. But in any case, the point is that that we do have an opinion that says that Shoichnus a Pesach ala Yochid, and he learns that from the word Ish, in other words, one man by himself, you could shech the Korban Pesach for. What? Baby. Yeah, you could. I mean, older, the Korban Pesach is always a baby animal, but even a baby animal, it's still pretty large. It's still a lot for one person to eat. But if you have, you have Pesachim, for example, where it mentions about one of the Kohenim Golem of the second Mishmikdash, Yochanan ben Narboi, that he ate an enormous amount of food, and he had people. There it mentions also he had people at his table who ate a lot, but he himself had an enormous appetite as well. So you could say somebody like him. Then yeah. Anyway, so the point is, if we say that you learn from the word ish. So if we're saying, again, from the one ish, you're learning that only a gadol can be zoicha for others and not a katan, and the other one, we're learning that you can only shecht the Korban Pesach, that you can shecht the Korban Pesach even for a yochid, then you don't have any word ish available to daushin that a person can be a shliach when he doesn't have a share in it. And you're back to the question, how do we know that? The answer is Sovala, Kamandome, and Shechtin is a Pesach ala Yochid. Well, very well. He holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that you can't do that. Now, fine, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yonasan, that all Jewish people could be Yotze with one Korban Pesach either. So therefore, we're fine. According to Rabbi Yonasan, can hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who holds that every person has to have a kezias of his own, he can hold like Rabbi Yossi, that it's also possible for one individual to have a Korban Pesach shechted for him, and therefore now we've covered everything. We have a source for Shlucha Shalom Kamosai, and we also have a source that you could shecht the Korban Pesach for a Yochid, and also that a Godo can be mezaka to others, because you have two different issues in the pasuk, as well as you have the shechtu Oseh Ko Kahal Adas Yisrael, where of necessity the entire Kahal Adas Yisrael is not shechting Korban Pesach together.
Because
it's not possible to have so many, to have all the people who are registered for a Korban Pesach be shechting it together, right? Okay. So far, so good. But now the Gemara says, Ve'ela hoda amar Rav Gidol amar Rav. What about this that Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav? Now the Gemara is going to end up bringing a couple of different versions of what Rav Gidol is going to say. So Rishonim explain that the Gemara is like trying to figure out what was the actual thing that he said. Many times you'll have that the Chachamim taught something to their Talmidim very briefly, and then later on, when we try to teach it out, we have different possibilities that different Amudoyim argue what exactly he meant. Sometimes even Ab Minakotze Al Akotze. Rashi makes an interesting point on it in Ksubas, by the way. We usually say Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But Rashi says, when you have two Amudoyim arguing, and one of them saying that this earlier Tana or Amurda said this, and the other one says he didn't say that, you wouldn't necessarily say Divrei Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim over there, because it means one of them is obviously making a mistake. What do you have when you're arguing on Svara? And that could include also where one of them says what he said means such and such. I teach it out to mean such and such. And the other one says, I teach it out to mean such and such. There we can say, Eilveil Divrei Elokim Chayim. Anyway. So he has a different place where we learn that Shlucha Shalom Kamosai. Shinema, the Pasuk says, that when you're going to go and divide up Eretz Yisrael, the nasi echad mimata. Hashem tells Moshe in Parshas Maaseh, to appoint one nasi for each shevet that they're going to be the ones to inherit Eretz Yisrael on behalf of each shevet. So, in other words, the idea is there's going to be a gerdel to decide which shevet gets which territory in Eretz Yisrael. What's going to happen is, as a result of that gerdel, each nasi now acquires that that land through the gerdel, and then he starts parceling it out to the shevet. Typically shlichus merhacha. So why don't we learn shlichus from there? So the question could be why we need all the other lemudim from before. The question could be why. Over here, did the Torah need to repeat the concept rather than learning it from Gittin and Truma and Korban Pesach and so forth, like we said before? Anyway, so the Gemara answers back. What's the question? The Tisbara de Hashlichus. Who? Do you really think this is actually a matter of Shlichus when it comes over here to the Nesiim acquiring Eretz Yisrael and bequeathing it to their Shvatim? V'haktanim lav b'nei Shlichus ninu. After all, there are Haktanim involved. Every Shevet of necessity had babies who were in it as well. Eventually, they're going to. Right now, fine. When it comes to the Chalukah Sa'aretz, it's taking place only among those who are 20 years or older when they're entering Eretz Yisrael. Rashi explains in Parshas Pinchas that was one purpose of the census that they took in Arvus Moav at the end of the 40 years. You have a few reasons over there because it was after the plague with Baal Pa'ur, and because Moshe is about to give them back after shepherding them for 40 years. But one reason is also because they need to know who is going to be receiving a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning Rashi makes the point over there. Keep in mind, even though there was shepherding, we learned before, there were 7 years it took them to conquer Eretz Yisrael and 7 years to divide it. You shouldn't think when they come to divide it, you have somebody who's 20 years old, means when they came into Eretz Yisrael, he was 6 years old, he should get a portion of his own. No, it goes according to who was 20 at the time of the census in Arvus Moav. Yeah, so, but the point is, still, ultimately, this division of the territories is going to affect the children as well, because eventually the children are going to grow up and become the next generation. So, and they're not b'nei shlichus, they're not people who are capable of la b'nei shlichus ninu, they're not capable of appointing a shliach. The same way as we just said, they can't be zoicha for others, the same way they don't have the ability to make a shliach themselves. So obviously, therefore, if the Nasi has the ability to get his portion, his shevet's portion in Eretz Yisrael and hand it out to his shevet, then it's not a matter of shlichus. So Ella kihod the Rav Bar Rav Huna. Rather, we have to say, rather like a different version of what Rav Bar Rav Huna said, Amar Rav Gidol. Where do we know that you're able to be zoicha for somebody not in his presence, and the cotton is considered like not in his presence because he doesn't have das? So that we learn from this matter of the Nasiim. Meaning, in other words, again, even if they have ketanim in the shevet, but the nasi is doing a schus on their behalf to get them a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and you can do that even shaloi b'fan. So we learn that. So that the second version of what Rav Gidol is saying in the name of Rav is that it's not a matter of shlichus, but a matter of zikri, that you can be zoicha la'odim shaloi b'fan. But the Gemara asks, "V'tisper azchosi? Are you thinking that it's exclusively a zchus? Ha'choiva nami ika? Isn't there also a choiva involved as well? The ika, one second. No, the ika de nichale b'har v'le nichale b'bika. The ika de nichale b'bika v'le nichale b'har. After all, one person some people would prefer mountains, some people would prefer valleys. Now it is true, Mefoshim point out that." Each shevet, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, did get mountains and did get valleys. Nevertheless, first of all, there's for each individual. That's one answer, is we're talking about for each individual parcel, not necessarily. But even among the shevet as a whole, one shevet gets more mountains than valleys. The other one gets more valleys than mountains. You have, for example, Shevet Zvulun, the Gemara mentions in Megillah, complains to Hashem. He says that everybody else got Sodas of Kramim and I got the sea coast. So they had Sodas of Kramim, they had parts of the Galil, but still a substantial part of their territory is the seacoast, and Zvulun complains about that. So it's not exclusively a schus, there's a choiva involved as well. So how can you say then we know Ein Chavin La'odim Shalei B'fanav, so how could the Nasiim, if you're saying it's Mitzad to schus, then how can the Nasi be doing it on behalf of his Shevet when they're Aktanim in the Shevet?
For them it's free, they didn't earn it.
Doesn't matter though. The point is, they could still, wouldn't they still have the ability to say, if I had Das at the time, I wouldn't have accepted that that portion is going to be mine in Eretz Yisrael. I would have demanded a different portion that has Sodas Akrumim, that has whatever.
Even though it came from Tzitz Vashem.
Yeah. Still, the fact is, you still need a Nossi to be acquiring it on their behalf, and then So that doesn't really work either to say that it's mitzad zoch in the Adam Shlevifana. So Ve'ela could be Rav Bar Rav Huna. So rather, we have to say like a third version of what Rav Bar Rav Huna said. The Omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, Minayim Yisoyimim Shabo Lachlok V'Nichse Avihim. How do we know when Yisoyimim in future generations come to divide up the estate of their father, Shabestin Ma'amidin Lahem Apotropos, that, now we're talking about that the Yisoyimim are Ketanim. So we could be talking about all of them are Ketanim, or we could be talking about that some of them we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about in a minute where some of them are Ketanim. Anyway, how do we know that they're coming to divide up their father's estate? She based in Ma'amid and Lahem Apotropos, Locho Velizkos. So based in sets them up an Apotropos, which we learned about extensively in Gittin about all the dinim of an Apotropos, in order to be a Lochov, in order for to owe Velizkos and to be Zoicha. So the Gemara asks, Lochov Amai, why would the Apotropos have the right? Lochov, why would they have the right to put a detriment, to put a choiv on the assignment? So no, what he means is Ella Lochov Amanas Lizkos. It means that they're able to go to a choiv in order to get a schutz. So for example, in other words, the Apotropos can go to a Din Torah to argue on their behalf. If it turns out that they lose the Din Torah, then fine, Masha Osu, what they did is done, and eventually, fine, you may not be able to collect from the assignment, but eventually when they get older, then they're going to have to pay up accordingly. So how do we know that? One second, because Tosfos points out that it's not so simple. We're going to have something against that in Git, what we learned in Gittin, but wait. Anyway, how do we know that? Talmud Lomav, Nosiach, Nosiach, Bimata, Tikhu, then you have from the Nasiyim, because there it's Lochov Amanas Lizkos. They're getting the Schus, because they're getting a portion in Eretz Yisrael. There may be a Lochov involved, because again, there may be that it's a portion that it turns out they don't like so much. Nevertheless, it's still Lochov Amanas Lizkos, and the Nasiyim had the right to do that, even for the Ketanim in the Shevet, and we learn that from the fact that the Nasiyim were appointed to do that in the first place. Now, Tosfos brings up the point when we learned the whole sugya of Apotropos in Gittin, we said they're not allowed lochov lizkos v'nichsi yisaimim, and we said over there that they're not even allowed lochov amanas lizkos. They're not allowed to go to a din torah figuring we're going to win it, because what happens if they lose it? And then they're creating a detriment to yisaimim where it wasn't necessary. So Tosfos answers, because there we're talking about that he's taking somebody else to Beis Din to claim a debt that they owe the yisaimim. Or the other way around, rather, sorry, where other people are going to Beis Din to claim that the Yisoyimim owe them money. So now the Apotropos should say, so now it's true there is a chance of winning. On the other hand, maybe not. So let him tell him, no, you know what? Right now they're Ketanim. You have no business suing them in Beis Din. What's going to happen when they get older? The guy may not even bother suing them when he gets older. He may find that he was already paid back. He may find whatever. He may lose his shtar. He may whatever. There's no reason to jump the gun now and daft go to the Din Torah when instead you can stall on the ground that they're Yisoyimim. Here we're talking about that. They're arguing on behalf of the Yisoyimim. Eventually, that division of the property is going to have to be done somehow or other. So therefore, they can do it when they're Ketanim as well, and it's even like a new Lochov Amanas Lizkos. So, for example, they can decide that this Yosim should get this particular portion of land, even though later on, so now we're going to talk about in the Gemara, what happens is the Yosim able to protest when he gets older and say, I would have rather have a different portion. That's going to be the next piece of Gemara over here.
Against the Apotropos.
Does he have the ability to do that? That's going to be the next piece of the Gemara. But in any case, there is the possibility, at least the Apotropos is able to do that in the first place. Whereas again, when it comes to somebody else suing the Yisoyimim and Beis Din, then the Apotropos should not even get involved at all. He should tell them, I'm sorry, they're Ketanim, and they're out of the picture until they get older. Yeah.
So when it's a positive thing,
the assignment have to do it. But the point is, in other words, we talked about over there, they're not allowed to do a din torah. They're not allowed to go to a din torah on behalf of the assignment, figuring they're going to win. Because what if they don't win? What if they lose? So now Tosfos is drawing a distinction where the din torah is not is not something that that necessarily is going to happen in the future. Maybe right now somebody is suing them in Beis Din and saying that this land that you own belongs to me, or that your father owes me money or whatever. So fine, stall. You never know. The guy may not end up bringing the din Torah after all. We're talking right. So for example, if it's suing on behalf of the Yisoyimim, for example, that he owed their father money, right. then maybe. Because in any case, the idea is that's something that's going to happen later. But here also, the point is the chalukas at Yerusha is eventually going to happen later. So therefore, there's no problem with the apoturpas doing it even now. So that brings us to some dinim about Yisoyimim dividing up properly. Mainly this kind of thing belongs really more in Bava Basra. We also learned about it some in Gittin, but the Gemara brings it over here in continuation of this whole matter of, we're saying that a shliach for Yisoyimim is able to do loch of a manas lizkos. So the Gemara says, Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Yisoyimim shebo lachlik v'nichsei avihem, when you have Yisoyimim who are coming up to divide their father's property. Now the Rambam learns that we're talking that some of them are ketanim and some of them are gdolim. So now the gdolim can handle their own affairs. The ketanim need somebody to handle for them and make sure that they get a fair portion, not just a fair portion, but a good portion. You don't just want to have, in other words, as the Gemara is going to talk about later on, when you think about it, there's two ways of dividing up real estate among Yoshim. You could have where they just divide up by the area. They say, you know, we've got 100 acres over here. There's five of us, so each one will take 20 acres, and that's that. Or you could have that you do be'iluya, as the Gemara is going to say later, that you have. You figure out the value. This particular part is idis, so therefore 10 acres of it is worth 30 acres of ziburis are going to be someplace else, etc., that kind of thing. The point is, you want to make sure that the Yisoyim are going to get a fair shake, that the Ketanim are going to get a fair shake. You don't want that their brothers are going to get all the good parts and they're going to leave the not-so-good parts for their younger brothers. There are Rishonim who learn that we're talking about over here, even when all of them are Ketanim. Anyway. So Yisoyimim Shabo Lachlik B'nichse Abiyim, based in Ma'amidim Lahem Apotropos. So the based in sets up for them an apotropos. It can mean one apotropos for all the Yisoyimim, or it might mean one apotropos individually for each one of the Yisoyimim. That's actually Rashi versus Rabbi Tam about that. Rashi learns, when we learned this in Gittin, Rashi learns that it means that each child gets his own apotropos. Not rather, Rabbi Hananel holds that you have one apotropos and he exercises things on behalf of all of them. Anyway, uborim lahem chelik yofa, and they pick for the children a nice portion. In other words, they're not getting the idis necessarily, but they're getting a portion that's just as good as what each of their brothers are getting. The imhigdulu, when the yisoyim, when these children get older, yecholim limchos. Rabbi Nachman says they can protest. They can say that we wouldn't have chosen that portion, and therefore we want to undo that, and therefore we want to now does that mean that actually they would undo it, or does it just mean that the other ones maybe would have to compensate him an equivalent amount? That you also have a discussion among Rishonim. Doesn't necessarily mean, in other words, that we're going to say we're going to undo the entire chalukah and store it all over, but we might have to figure out. They might say, you know, look, the apotropos thought that this land is worth X amount. It turns out it's not, so therefore you need to compensate me. On the other hand, now that was Rav Nachman quoting in the name of Shmuel saying that. Tosfos, by the way, mentions an interesting point over here, that apparently there's no girdle done over here, because if there's a girdle, how can you talk about burden? So it has to be that evidently it's not just a matter of making a girdle to decide who gets what. It has to be apparently that they actually have to figure it. They actually have to figure it out. So basically, the Ri says in Tosfos that what it would be is, the same way, if they were all adults, then each one would pick himself. Each one would go and evaluate the land and bring in assessors if he wants to or whatever, but figure out for himself what part he wants. The same way, when the ketanim over here, then the apotropos stands in their stead and does that instead. Then Tosfos goes on to give another explanation of Rabbeinu Tam that says that no, we are talking about over here there's a girdle, but you still need also based in to evaluate it over here to see how much each portion is worth. And then Tosfos says the Ri ended up agreeing with Rabbeinu Tam that that's how it is. the fact is, Rabbeinu Tam says in that connection, after all, it's not only a matter of dividing up the property, it's also a matter of, for example, consider all the kinds of easements that one is going to have relative to the other. You have all kinds of cases that talks about in Baba Basra, where one person, where let's say, for example, they're dividing up, one of them is going to get the house and the other one is the chotzer. Now the house has windows that overlook the chotzer. To what extent does now the owner of the house have rights in the chotzer that his window shouldn't be blocked? To what extent does the owner of the chotzer have rights on that the person from the house shouldn't be staring at what he's doing in the chotzer, et cetera, all that kind of thing? You need a lot of burden, even if you're going to make a girdle and say one person wins the house in the girdle and the other one wins the chotzer, you still need a lot of burden to figure out those kinds of details. Yeah. Anyway. So Rav Nachman is saying in the name of Shmuel that the Yisomim can argue when they get older and say, I wouldn't have wanted this portion, I would have rathered something else. Rav Nachman himself disagrees and says, no, once they get older, they can't protest. Because otherwise, how would the power of Beis Din be strong? In other words, the point is, we want to reinforce the power of the Beis Din. We don't want that people are going to say something was accomplished by Beis Din, it doesn't matter, we can just undo it. So we have to give Beis Din a certain chashivos and not allow the Yisomim to protest against it. So the Gemara says, "Mi istler Rav Nachman imken makoyach Beis Din Yofa." Does Rav Nachman really hold of that concept that we would say imken makoyach Beis Din Yofa, that we would say because of that we don't allow them to protest? V'hotnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Ksubas, Shuma Dayanim shepichsu shtus. Suppose that the Dayanim evaluate a property in order to pay off a debt. You could have a case where you have all the different kinds of cases to pay off a ksuba, for example, or a person borrowed money and he's not paying back or whatever. So ultimately you have cases where Beis Din has to go evaluate the value of a property and use it to pay the person. Now they have to evaluate, they have to figure out how much it's worth. So Rashi gives a couple of examples over here. Let's say the loiva is not around. Or let's say the loiva is not listening to Beis Din and paying off the malva, then you have the Rambam. In fact, in Hilchos Malva V'Loiva, gives a whole long, long process that you have to go through if there's a case like that where the loiva doesn't want to or can't pay. You have a long process that lasts months and months before the loiva can actually take karka from before the malva can actually take property from the loiva. You have to first see if the loiva has nechosim, and you have to first find if there's nechosim. Does he still have nechosim b'nei chorin? Because then you have to collect from those first, and you have to write a shtar. You have to write a whole series of shtaris over there. You have a shtar adrachta, and you have a shtar tirpa, and so on and so forth. And yeah, you have to have an announcement to auction off the property, et cetera, et cetera. So it becomes a very complicated process. But anyway. So Shuma Dayanim, Shepichsu Shtus, if they deducted by 1/6, meaning in other words, they figured they undervalued the property by 1/6 or more, or they overvalued it by 1/6, Michran Batel, then their sale is Batel. Here also you have a machlokas rishonim. Does it mean completely Batel, or does it mean at least we would have to compensate the other guy the appropriate amount? On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel over Michran Kayim. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the sale is valid. V'omer Reb Shimon Gamliel imkain makoyach based in Yoffa. On the same argument, that makoyach based in Yoffa, we have to give Beis Din does more credence than what the average person does. V'omer of Hunabachin and Omer of Nachman halacha kedivrei chachamim. So he says flat out the halacha is like the chachamim. So we're not concerned about makoyach based in Yoffa. Why all of a sudden over here by the Yisoyimim would he be concerned about that? And the answer is loikasha, hod loitou. The difference is the Mishnah from Ksubas is talking about where Beis Din actually made a mistake. They actually undervalued or overvalued the property. By the way, there was an interesting, there is an interesting point over here, by the way, when we talk about Beis Din being involved in the chalukah for the Yisoyimim. So if they undervalue the property, then obviously you have a problem, and the Yisoyimim have to. And we could argue maybe the Yisoyimim should be able to change their mind and say, not change their mind, but whatever, to protest and say, what if it was overvalued in their benefit? Why should the other person have a right to? So Rabbeinu Yonah makes an interesting point that after all. the other person knows you have a mitzvah also, the dayanim have a mitzvah not to favor one side against the other. So they know, therefore, you can't have the dayanim favoring the yisayimim over the other person. So therefore, both sides have to be able to expect a fair shake from Beis Din. So, anyway, so the answer is sahoda tohu. So the one case is talking about the Mishnah in Ksumas is talking about where the Beis Din made a mistake. Hodloi tohu, whereas when it comes to the apotropos, we're talking about they didn't make a mistake. So they want to ask idloi tohu my yichol limchus. Well, then what are the yisayimim complaining about anyway? The answer is yecholim limchas beruchos. Later on, a yosim could no ruchos means the directions. Meaning, let's say, for example, one of the yosimim received a part in the south side of his father's estate. He can argue, you know what? I would have rather have in the north part. I have a field over there. It would be much more convenient to have my two fields contiguous, one to another. So, if I had been an adult at the time, now you could have, for example, let's say he has a field that he inherited, for example, Rashi says from his mother. Or from his mother's family, whatever. So,
that he has the first right to get the field.
So that's later on when you're selling, you have the din of bar mitzvah. But here, what we're talking about, in other words, so you have this Yosin, he was a cotton at the time. So he received, so the apotropsin. So let's say, now you could have, let's say, for example, that at the time you could have, maybe he had already inherited this property from his mother, or you could say that not, he inherited only later. But whatever, he says, if I had been a gadol at the time, then I would have figured, you know what, eventually that property is likely to come to me. And therefore, to begin with, I would have rather have on the north side so that the two fields can be contiguous. So therefore, so the apotropsin didn't make a mistake as far as the value you got. The full value of the land, but he's complaining that he would have rather had on a different side. There, Rav Nachman is saying we do say makoyach based in Yoffa, and we tell him sorry, that's the way it is.
What he said about him inherited from the mother. That's ksuba benedichin.
Could be ksuba benedichin. Could be poshut that his mother was a yodish of her father. That she was that.
And the husband doesn't ask for that, but she died.
Ah, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay, so then in that case, we would have to say, I guess, either it's ksuvas bin indichrin, or we'd have to say either ksuvas bin indichrin, or we'd have to say that that he inherited only later. No, there aren't. Yeah. Or you'd have to say that he inherited only that the boy inherited only later. Yeah. But you could still have. That's what I'm saying. I would assume you could probably have. His argument might be now fine. I mean, the thing is, if he inherited it only after his father passed away, then maybe you could say, what's the chiddush? We tell him, look, even if you had been a gadol at the time, how would you have known in advance? But maybe he could say, look, I knew that beforehand. There is a property on the north side of my father's field that belongs to my mother or her family. I knew that she's going to be in position to yavshin it, and then eventually that I yavshin it from her. And therefore, to begin with, I would have proactively rather taken on that side. So yeah. Okay. More dinim on this topic of dividing up the Yerusha, and when we say that they can undo the division and when not. Amr Rav Nachman, ha'achen shechoku, when brothers divide up the Yerusha, harei and kelakuchas, they're considered in a certain sense like buyers. So it's as if they bought the properties from each other. And now that has different nafkaminas in different places in Shas. For example, in Gittin, we talked about the question, does that mean, what are we doing Yovel, for example? Do they actually have to undo the entire division, or do they maybe just like trade their portions symbolically or something like that? But anyway, so here Rav Nachman is saying that's also, it means they're like buyers as far as the dinim of Aina. We know when it comes to buying and selling, you have the din of Aina, where if there was the same 1/6 that we said before, where it was undervalued or overvalued too much, then you have a case of Aina. So the same thing. Pachas mishtus, if the undervaluing or overvaluing was less than 1/6, nikne mekach, then the purchase is a done deal, and the whatever they divided stays the way it is. If it's more than 1/6, then the sale is completely void, so they start all over again. If it's exactly 1/6, kana, then he does acquire, but he has to return, he has to reimburse the appropriate amount of daina. Omar Rava, but Rava says, Hoda Amoran, the pachas mishtus nikna mekach. This that you're saying that if it's less, that if the mistake was less than 1/6, then nikna mekach loyamoran elgalis shavya shliach. That would only apply the loyamoran elgalis shavya shliach. That would only be if they didn't appoint a shliach for the purpose. Avol shavya shliach. But if they appointed a shliach, Omar, then the mishaleach can say to the shliach, l'takuni shtartichah v'loy la'absi. I sent you as a shliach in order to make things good for me, not in order to make things bad for me. And therefore, even the difference of less than 1/6 means, in effect, you're not my shliach, and your division is not binding on me. However, then he continues, v'hod amor and yes mishtus bato mekach. This, on the other hand, that this that we say. Tosfos, by the way, points out there's a different Gemara where Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman that Mekach Kayam even with a Shliach, and Tosfos says the same way as we just said Rav Nachman is disagreeing with Shmuel, the same way as we said Rav Nachman quoted something from Shmuel but disagreed with him, the same way Rava is quoting something from Rav Nachman but disagrees with him. And also Tosfos mentions there's a difference over there, that there's a difference whether the Shliach was appointed by the Dayanim or whether he himself appointed the Shliach. Anyway, so furthermore, Rava says, V'hodamoran yes mishtus batal mekach. This that we say, that if the difference is more than 1/6, then the sale, and in this case, the division among the Yoshim, is completely batal. Lo yamoran elod le'amon nifligin v'shuma debedina. Only if they didn't, to begin with, say, let's divide it with an assessment of beis din. So we'll assess it ourselves and we'll divide it. Then we say that if they made a mistake of more than 1/6, then mekach batal. Aval omen niflig b'shumah debedina. But if they said let's divide it based on an assessment of beis din michran kayam, then their sale is valid. Then their division, in other words, is valid, because it means, in other words, that then there, it doesn't even mean shumah debedina. Doesn't mean that we're actually going to have beis din involved. It means that we're going to consider our division to have the force of a division in beis din. We're going to have it, not mean stamp. We ourselves are going to consider as if what we did was accomplished by beis din. We're going to treat it like that. Well, then, so now Rashi explains that after all, we said before, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds makoyach beis din yofa, and so Rashi says Rava would agree with that. Rava then would be disagreeing with Rav Nachman, who said the halacha is like the chachamim, and Rava would say that no, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we would say makoyach beis din yofa. We'll talk in a second. Tosfos and many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. So wait. Anyway. So if they said we should divide with a shuma de beidina michran kayam, then it's valid. Ditnan, as we learn in that Mishnah in Ksubas, shuma dayonim shepichsu shtus or hisiru shtus. If they undervalued or overvalued by a sixth, michran bottle, then the sale is bottle. Rav Shimon Gamliel michran kayam, and Rav Shimon says it's valid. Even if it's more than one, Rashi makes a point. Now you could say on the face of it, Rav Shimon Gamliel is only saying when it was a difference of exactly 1/6, but In fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees even when the difference was more than 1/6. He mentions shtus because the chachamim are mentioning shtus, but he would say always makoyach beis din yofa. So he says michran kayim because makoyach beis din yofa. So therefore, so if they said it's going to be a shuma de beis din, we're going to treat it like it was done by beis din, then Rava holds the halacha would be that michran kayim and there's no undoing it. Now, Tosfos has a few problems with that. First of all, the fact is for one thing, we're saying that Rava doesn't hold like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was his Rebbe. Unless we say otherwise, we should assume that before, for example, we had Rav Nachman Yideyom, we made it clear that Rav Nachman disagrees with Shmuel. But other than that, we would usually assume a Talmud holds like his Rebbe. Also, we have a Gemara in Bava Metzia that bears on this, where it says it comes out that appointed Rav Nachman there would be a na with karka when the difference is more than 1/6, because he rolled like a chachamim. But then you have a Rav Nachman himself says in a Gemara in Bava Metzia that you don't have a na by karka anyway. And Tosfos has several other problems with Rashi's explanation. So rather, Tosfos wins. Rabbi Chananel and Rabbi Tam have the gear say as follows. They have the gears the other way around. When we say shtus kono machzu eina is only if they said that, only if they didn't say we're going to do a shuma de beis din. If they said we're going to do a shuma de beis din, we're going to treat our division as though it was done by beis din, then mekach batal, because like Rav Nachman said before, the halacha is like the chachamim. We don't care about makoyach beis din yofa. So we will undo it. And then, on the other hand, now, then the Gemara is going to go on to say that there's a difference in that regard between Kauka and the Talpilin. The Gemara is going to continue over here with the difference between Kauk and Metalklin. So therefore, so no, it would be on the contrary. Not that we would say, like Rashi, that when they said Shuma de Beidina, then always Michron Kayam, but rather on the contrary, Michron Botel, because we would hold like the Chachamim against Reb Shimon Gamliel, which in turn is like Reb Nachman, and that makes it that Rava agrees with Reb Nachman, his Rebbe, which we'd rather do.
Even though
the Chacham say that because Beis Din made a mistake, nevertheless we can undo it. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says no, Makoyach Beis Din Yofi. He says we always have to uphold what Beis Din says. Yeah.
Even if they all agree to go with Beis Din's opinion.
Right. So then the Gemara continues. Now this that we say that if the mistake was exactly 1/6, he is koina, but he has to reimburse the ina loyamaron elabim metalti. That would only apply when they're dividing up the talmud album of a karki. But when it comes to karka, ain't a nor look, of course, then we have a rule. There's no a nor as far as karka. So therefore, they can't undo it on the basis of that. The technical reason why there's no a nor for karka is because the whole concept of a nor is said in the Torah in connection with buying and selling the talmud. The chisimkur mimka lamisecha. If you buy something from the hand of your fellow yid, which is something davar niknei yad b'yad, then you have al toinu isher sachiv. So therefore, so no, it doesn't apply to karka.
Even impractical things, you buy a house. You buy a house in Fahrenheit. You buy a house in Oklahoma.
Yeah, they say that, you know, the famous expression has the most important three things in real estate are location. So no matter what, even if he says that it was undervalued or overvalued, you could always say, yeah, but the location makes it better or worse. Yeah. Okay. And furthermore, ubimakarki, even when it comes to karka, loyamaran elder the polig be iluya. That would only be if they're dividing it based on the value, like we talked about before. You could say, in other words, we want each one to get $100 worth of karka. So therefore, one is going to get a smaller portion because it is, and the other one is going to get a larger portion because ziburis, etc. Aval polig b'mishchosa, but if instead they just divide it based on the actual area, so we're going to divide the area equally, and everybody's going to get an equal portion. And then if they made a mistake, loy, then we wouldn't say then any amount of mistake makes it that the division has to be undone. Kidiraba, and that would be like what Rabba says. The Amar Rabba, called Dover Shabbat Midav, Shabbat Mishka, Shabbat Minyan. Anytime you're talking about something of measuring or weighing or counting, Afilo Pochas, Mikidei Eino, Nami Choyzer, then even if the mistake was less than Eino, then he still can undo it. Because the idea is, in other words, that when it comes to a regular Eino, is price is a mistake in the price, undervaluing or overvaluing as far as the price. So you're saying, in other words, that I could have found someplace else where I could have bought this thing for $5 and instead you sold it to me for $6. Therefore, we can talk about a no. But at least it is the sale itself. I knew what I was getting. But on the other hand, if we say, for example, I'm buying a dozen eggs and I open up a package and there's only 11 eggs in there, then I'm not getting bichlal what I paid for. So the same way over here, if he says I'm supposed to be getting an acre of land and they measure and find it's not an acre, in fact, then he didn't get what he was supposed to in the first place. So therefore, So nobody is moichel on such a thing. Okay. Fine. So that was all a side thing that we got into again once we talked about the matter of shlichus for Yisoymim. Then that got us into a bit of discussion about the division of the Yisoymim, when it can be undone and when not. Now, what about, though, let's get back to the matter of shlichus. So we've established so far that you're able to send a shliach to accomplish something for you and shlichus shalom kamosei. V'hoditnan, but what about we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma? So we'll get to it in a few months, B'ez Hashem. A person sends a fire with a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, and they end up going and burning somebody else's property. He's potter from human din because they don't have das to be able to. They don't have das, so therefore, but he's chayv b'din shemayim because after all he sent something dangerous with them. But shilach biad pikeach chayim. But if he sends it with a pikeach, not the mishaleach is chayim, but rather the pikeach, the normal person who carried the fire and set the fire is chayim. V'amai, now why name a shlucha shalom kamosei? Why don't we say that shlucha shalom kamosei and the mishaleach should be chayim? And the answer is, shiny hosem de ein shliach l'dvar avera. The answer is the famous concept that there's no shliach when it comes to a matter of avera. Da'amrinan, namely, we say divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishnah. You were told by Hashem, the master, to do to not do something. Here you have a Talmud. I'm telling you to do something. So who should you listen to? Obviously, you should listen to the Rav. You find, for example, the snake tried to use the same argument. Nachash HaKadmoni tried to use the same argument as far as Adam and Chava, and that's why the Eved just started punishing him without even hearing what he has to say. Anyway, there is some interesting discussion about that. First of all, would that always apply? The Ramah brings an interesting point. What if you send a shlichus with a mumer? Then can you say the same thing? Maybe not necessarily, because after all, you can't. So it's like this. The Smeh on Shulchan Aruch explains the svara behind Divrei Rab, Divrei Tam, and Divrei Mishaymin. He explains the svara is basically the Mishalayach can say, I didn't know the guy is actually going to do it. He knows that Divrei Rab, Divrei Tam, and Divrei Mishaymin. So I told him to do such and such an avera. I didn't even expect he was going to do it. So therefore, I can't really call him my shliach. So they're based on that then, so that Amar says in that case, that if you send a mumer to do something which is a dvar aveira, then you can't say that. With him, you can't say, I wouldn't have expected he's going to do it.
He sends him, he should deliberately put
on. So there's two possibilities. There's two possibilities actually that they discuss. It could be that he's sending a fire in his hand and the guy in the cheder shoy to the cotton does it on his own. It could actually be that he's sending it with intent to burn down the other guy's property. But either way, the Gemara seems to be equating that.
The means that he's just giving him the fire.
No, because then there's no chiddush. Of course, then the bekeach is chayev. The point is, even if you tell him, we're going to talk about the Gemara tomorrow about chedup and Amun and all that. But we're talking about you actually gave him instructions to go do the thing. Anyway, there's an interesting point that the Ritva discusses that not necessarily is this divrei adav, divrei tam, divrei mishomin. Not necessarily is that the full reason behind ein shliach l'dvar aveira. And they talk about a nafkamina, for I think the Nesivis talks about a nafkamina. Let's say, for example, a Kohen sends somebody to be Mekadosh a Grusha for him. Would it work or not? If you say it's a matter of Divrei Rab, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishoymin, maybe that's not enough to make it that we would say it's not a valid Kedushin. On the other hand, if we say in Shliach Lidvar Aveira, period, that's basically Xeris Akosu, then we would say the Kedushin is no good. If you say it's a Mitzad, Divrei Rab, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishoymin, maybe not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Shliach Lidvar Aveira, because Divrei Rab, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishoymin, yeah. So what about, the Gemara says, in that case, V'hodetanya, then what about, we have another Braisa, it's part of it as a Mishnah, but anyway, in the case of Me'ilah, Shliach Shalai Osa Shlichusa, if you send a Shliach to do something which is going to end up being Me'ilah, so you send him, for example, with money of Hekdesh to go buy something from the store, if he didn't do his exact Shlichus, Shliach Mal, then the Shliach is the one who's committed Me'ilah. So for example, you send him to the store to buy a certain item and he buys a different item instead. But also shlichus balabais mal. But if he does the exact shlichus that you sent him, then the balabais is committing meila. So you have to ask, ki also shlichus de balabais, balabais mi mal. Why is the balabais committing meila? Amai name ein shliach ledvar aveira. What happened to ein shliach ledvar aveira? Now Tosfos points out that the whole concept of meila is talking about b'shogeg. So how are we comparing that to? We're talking about sending somebody for a dvar aveira b'mezid. But the answer is because after all. And you certainly can't say divrei adav, divrei atam, divrei mishomin when it's a matter of shogeg.
Right.
But the answer is, in other words, that you can have the balabos could be shogeg and the shliach could be mezid, or the other way around. So then you can talk about that there is mezid involved. For example, Tosfos says you have, let's say, a case where you send a shliach with money to buy something from the store, and on the way, the shliach realizes that this is money of Hekdesh. So now you could say the shliach remembered, and still we say if he does the exact shlichus, still the balabais commits meila. Why in shliach the baraveh? So the answer is. Buys me a mall, and my name is Shlech Varabera. Shiny Me'ila di Yalfa Chet Chet Mitruma. So Me'ila is different because we learn a Xeta Shava on the word Chet from Truma, where by Truma it says, Vola Yisu all of Chet, and by Me'ila it says, Vachota Bishgog and the Kodshe Hashem. Ma Truma, Mashavi Shliach, at Me'ila, Mashavi Shliach. So just like by Truma, we established before that you can make a Shliach to take Truma off for you, the same way it's possible for Me'ila to happen through a Shliach. Well, the Gemara says, "Benelach mina." Well, then why don't we learn from that yes, shliach the dvar aveira? And the answer is Mishum Dahab Mi'ilo, Shlichus Yad, Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad. Because again, you have Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad, two different dinim in the Torah, where we have the same concept of Shlichus working by an Avera, and therefore, Chol Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad, Ein Malamden, and therefore you can't learn from it for other places. Mi'ilo Hadam Moran, we just said Mi'ilo, we see that a Shliach can be done Levan Avera. Shlichus Yad Ma'i, where do we see by Shlichus Yad? The Tanya. So we learn in a Braisa. Now, Shlichus Yad is a person deposits a pikadon for safekeeping by somebody else, then if he uses it for his own purposes, that's called shlichus yad. From now on, he becomes chayev in anything that happens. Even, for example, he's a shemachinam, and a shemachinam would be potter from neva, aveda, and oynas, and so forth. Nevertheless, having done shlichus yad, he's chayev for everything. So what does he need to do for shlichus yad? So the Tanya, we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says, "I'll call dvar pesha," for any word of pesha, and this is right after the pasuk that mentions shlichus yad, that comes to teach us that he's chayev even for just thinking of doing shlichus yad, as if he actually did it already. From when he thinks that I'm going to use this pikadon already, then he becomes chayev in anything that happens to it. Or Basil Omrim at Ein Chayiv at Sheyishlach Bayad. Basil says only when he actually does Shlichus Yad. Shenemo Imle Sholach Yodev Gomer. Because after all, the pasuk says he didn't send his hand against the thing. So far we're not talking about Shlichus. Once we discuss the Machlokas B'Shama B'Silo, then we'll continue and see how this relates to the matter of Shlichus. So Omru B'Shama B'Silo V'Alenemer Al Kol Dvar Pesha. So B'Shama says, what do you mean? It says Dvar Pesha. So that implies that just saying that he's going to say that he's going to do it has already counted. And what about our pasuk that it says that if he didn't actually do shlichus yad against his fellow man's thing, fine, but you still have to explain what's the alkol dvar pesha. You have to say yochol. So Basil answers, she yochol, without that pasuk, you would have thought, only Elohu. You would think only if he does shlichus yad is he now chayev for anything that happens to the pikadon. Omel avdev l'shlucha minai, and how do we know also if he tells his eved or his shliach to do that he would be chayev? Tamad lema, I'll call dvar pesha. So therefore, it says, I'll call dvar pesha. So therefore, we learn from that. So Basil is going to say that you see there, you have the concept of shlichus. So now what happens? It's not the shliach becomes chayev for the own sin of the pekodin. It's the mishaleach becomes chayev. Well, there you go. So you have a second place besides from Ila where we see yes shliach with dvar avera, and therefore we can't apply it to other things. Another example of shnei ksuma boim kafa. So the Gemara continues. Hanichal beis Hillel. Okay, well that works out well according to beis Hillel. Ela beis Shammai demoik milal high krob machshava kamaisa. We just said beis Shammai uses the word alkol dvar pesha to teach us that his machshava is considered like maisa. So then neilach minei according to beis Shammai, we should learn from Me'ila to the whole Torah, because by shlichus yad they don't have a source to say that a shliach should that in the case where it's done through a shliach that the mishaleach should be chayav. The answer is Mishum Dahab Me'ila Tvicho Mechira Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad. Fine, they would say you don't learn from Me'ila, you learn from Me'ila, but not the second one is not from Shlichus Yad, but rather from Tavach Umacha, when a person steals an animal and shechts it or sells it. So there you have Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad, B'chol Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad Ein Melamdin. Me'ila Hodam Moram, he said what we mean by Me'ila, Tvicho Mechira Ma'ihi Omakra U'Tvachoi O'Mechoroi, because the Pasuk says that he shechts it or he sells it. So therefore, we learn there's a comparison between the shechting and the selling. Ma'mechira al yidei acher, selling necessarily has to involve somebody else. You sell to somebody else. After tvicha al yidei acher, therefore, we can learn that tvicha also happens through somebody else. You tell somebody else to shecht the animal, and it's still considered that you shechted it, and therefore you're chayev for tashlum al ba'al chamisha. And similarly, the Gemara says, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Oy l'rabbis tashliach, Dvei Chizkiya Tana tachas l'rabbis tashliach. In Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they learned that the word Tvachai Oy Mechore, that the Oy comes to include a shliach. And in the yeshiva of Chizkiya, they learned that since it says twice in the pasuk tachas, that you should pay chamisha bakar, yishalim tachas asher, v'arbatzen tachas aseh, the word tachas means instead of, so it means the shliach is instead of the balabayas, and the balabayas still, the ganav himself still becomes chayav.
So Bishama also has Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad.
So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about, so what about according to the opinion that Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echad Malamdin, right. and we'll continue with that point, and we'll continue discussing in some detail this whole point of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Shkoyach, everyone.